Club, thanks to Impact Media and Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Jeremy York. I'm from the East Coast. He's the co-host. He's Cody Elias. He's from the West Coast. How you doing, Cody?
I'm doing well, Jeremy. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good. We had one of our summer rainstorms this afternoon, and by rainstorm, I mean this would probably drown a village in East Africa.
Jeez, well, I mean, it's like 65 and sunny where I'm at, so I don't feel bad. As a way, I guess the best way to put it for me, for you. But I will say I do miss the rain and the thunderstorms, you know, growing up on the East Coast. I do miss all that because you don't get that out here. So it's nice being sunny and 65 to 70 to 80 sunny every day, but I do miss the thunderstorms. It was nice to watch at night when you had nothing better to do.
Exactly. There is some downtime, as we've kind of learned, or at least we thought it was downtime in the sports world. But obviously, our guest Justin Felder from Fox 5 Atlanta will be calling in here shortly, I believe. But there's been actually, we thought it was a down period, and then the sports world exploded in the past, I don't know, 5 or 6 days. I mean, obviously, we're going to get into some of this NBA stuff here in a little while. We're actually going to go, maybe if we get to it, we've tried to do this for like a month now, and we hadn't done our top five wrestlers in the world debate. I feel like it's going to go really quickly. There may be some crying and some whining involved in this, but overall, I think I'll be okay, and Cody will be the bigger person in this. But I don't know how you guys do it out in the West Coast, but over here in the East Coast, things like NASCAR and golf are pretty big. I happen to catch the last 5 or 6 holes of the Travelers Championship, I believe it was. But did you see that shot Jordan Spieth did to essentially do a walk-off win?
I did. That was incredible. It's good to see for Spieth because this hasn't been his year, and ever since the meltdown he's had, since the Masters he had the meltdown. Ever since then, it's just been a whirlwind for him. So it's nice to see him maybe get back on track and, you know, start winning some majors again because he's still so young. But yeah, that shot was incredible.
Yeah, and trust me, as somebody who has played golf since he was about 4 or 5 years old, not that I play enough to be any good. I have a great time when I go. A few years ago, I learned that you can actually drink beer and other things while you play, which has made it a whole different game to me. But on my best day, I've hit some kind of close. I'm terrible out of the sand, but that shot is a legendary shot, and I feel like it got downplayed a little bit because of his celebration. To me, golf and baseball are kind of in the same boat. If you want the younger generations to get involved, you need these kind of celebrations, and you need these young stars winning like this. Did you have a problem with his celebration?
No, and some people have those problems with people over celebrating in sports, and you know I'm fine with it. The only time I ever find a little egregious is the bat flips. Sometimes in baseball, because some people overdo it, but other than that, I have no problems with people celebrating. I'm one of the people that, especially tying it back to baseball, when pitchers, like relief pitchers, get a big out and they celebrate and they pump their fist, I think that's great. So when someone like Jordan Spieth, you know, celebrates and the other young athletes celebrate like that, it's great. Because remember Tiger Woods, every time he'd make a big putt, he would do the fist pump and all that stuff. I think it's good for sports when you see emotions from the athletes because you don't want them looking like robots out there the entire time. So I think it's good.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, these are two sports who absolutely need every bit of new fan they can get. And, you know, if somebody like a Jordan Spieth or I think Ricky Fowler is on the cusp of really breaking away here soon. I mean, there's just so much talent that instead of having one Tiger, you know, this may help with another debate I'll bring up in a second. But instead of having one Tiger, we have five people like Bubba Watson, Ricky Fowler, Jordan Spieth, Jason Day. You know, we have 5 or 6 really good guys as opposed to one ultimate. I mean, Phil's still around. We still got all the different people here. It kind of goes back to the Pulp Fiction debate of Elvis or the Beatles. My thing always was it took 4 Beatles to be one Elvis, but at the same time, they were in 2 different eras. By the time Elvis was kind of drowning off a little bit, the Beatles were really taking hold. So instead of comparing the two, as I've said the whole time, why don't we look at it as different eras and say, hey, the Tiger era is on the backslide right now. Why don't we look at all the young talent that's coming up now?
I agree. I like a lot of the young golfers, and I agree with you on Ricky Fowler. I think he's primed for a huge breakout. I've always liked him. on the golf course. I like Spieth a lot too. I'm not a big Dustin Johnson guy, but you know, you can't deny he's talented. But I agree with you about Fowler. I like the youth movement in golf, and just the youth movement overall. Like, especially in a sport like baseball, I think that it's a good time for an era like that, where you're seeing young guys in baseball as well starting to take over, and some of these veterans like Big Poppy are out of the game. You have young guys like Aaron Judge and Cody Bellinger take over the league. So I think things are like, I think that's good for sports, and especially with golf, because you're used to seeing some of the older guys like Phil and Tagger and Bubba, you know, always, you know, being the ones that are getting spotlight, but now seeing people like Spieth and Ricky Fowler, I think it's good for golf.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, like I said, to me, that ties into baseball. Is I've never understood why Jose Bautista can't do a bat flip even at the wrong time because of baseball's unwritten rules, which I compare to the English language as far as many ridiculous things that make no sense. But yet, like you said, a relief pitcher who comes in and maybe even gets a ground ball to third to end an inning, or even a lucky pop-up, pumps his fist the whole way of the dugout. It's okay for him, but not for Bautista to flip his bat as though he's excited for something. I mean, he plays in Toronto. What else is there to be excited about? Let him flip his bat.
We talk about the Maple Leafs are the up-and-coming team, man. Austin Matthews, don't sleep on them. But it's just with Bautista, I don't know. I think it's just his history. Just, you know, the way he's been, the way he acts, is people don't like his demeanor. And I think the whole fight he had with Rougned Odor was that 2 years ago when Odor knocked him out, almost knocked him out that punch. I think that was great. I'm not a Bautista guy, being a former Pirate, and the guy could never, you know, never did anything for the Pirates in his first year in Toronto. He has over 50 home runs. I find that a little fishy, but I could go on about that all day. But I do like the relief pitcher showing emotions. I think that's good, and you know, most players. But when it comes to Bautista, I don't care for his antics.
Yeah, I like Bautista. Joey Bats actually follows me on Twitter, which is kind of nice because he followed me before I followed him. I think maybe he just misspelled what he was really trying to look for, but I'll take it. He is a good player. I did think he overstepped his bounds a little bit. I think Ruggie was able to kind of put him in his place. He didn't knock him out. He sent a pretty good shot. You know, if Joey Bats' baseball career doesn't work, maybe he wanted to be a sparring partner for Conor McGregor.
Well, Conor can use all the help he can get up against Floyd, but, you know, we'll get into that when that comes up, when that fight comes around. But it's just, yeah, Bautista, I don't get how the guy's still a story, because I don't understand why the guy's still a story. I just don't care listening to him or seeing him play anymore, because he's again up there, I think, 37 now. So, I mean, I don't know. I've never been a Bautista guy, like I said, and when it comes down to it, it's just I don't like the way he plays and the way he presents himself, because I think it's setting a bad image to the kids and everyone out there who are watching him play and looking up to him. He seems like a great guy off the diamond, but when it comes to being, you know, on the field and on the diamond, I just don't care for him.
Yeah, I could see that. He is kind of starting to wear on people, I'm not going to sleep on the Toronto Maple Leafs. I do like Austin Matthews, and I felt like they were exactly where I thought they would be last year as far as making the first round. This year they could do even more because they got another first-round draft pick that's unbelievable that'll complement Matthews. So, yeah, I don't sleep on the Maple Leafs, but as far as the Blue Jays, you know, I grew up a Yankees and Mets fan, so I don't really have much for the Blue Jays.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I'm not a Blue Jays guy either. Actually, my favorite Canadian baseball player is Joey Votto. So that's one guy from Canada I pay attention to for when it comes to Canadian sports. For baseball, I only pay attention to Votto. We're forgetting the Toronto Raptors. They're not a bad basketball team, and there's a lot of stuff that happened in the NBA that if you maybe want to get into at some point, which I'm sure we will.
Yeah, we could actually get into it now. I was debating it actually, because I think Justin's going to join us a little bit later on. But, like I said, everybody thought this was kind of a downtime. I think I said a couple of weeks ago, now's the time for baseball to strike if you're really trying to build up your image and everything. And they've done okay. But then the NHL took over for a few minutes, and just about the time everybody had forgot about the old round ball people, the NBA has exploded. Before the draft, we had a couple trades that kind of moved some picks around, moved some other stuff, and then afterwards – I mean, we got Phil getting kicked out of New York because no matter what they say, there was not a mutual parting. That was his owner saying, you know what, here's a box, put as much as you can in there and don't turn around. But besides that, there was the big trade, Chris Paul now going to Houston. I mean, where do you want to start? The NBA kind of exploded.
I think we can start with the Knicks, because I think that is there a team – I mean, being out on the West Coast, everyone will say that the 49ers are a very dysfunctional franchise. But I think they're getting a little more stability now that they've hired Shanahan and John Lynch to kind of lead that franchise. But with the Knicks, with James Dolan, I don't know where you want to start with him, because it seems like he can never figure it. They can never get anything right with him as the owner. But Phil, he's arguably the greatest coach in the history of the NBA with his 11 titles. And then he has arguably one of the worst runs as a GM in the history of sports. The only thing he was able to do for the Knicks was bring in Kristaps Porzingis, and then he wanted to trade him. Like, what are you doing?
Yep.
You want to trade the only piece you have. Carmelo Anthony's done. I'm not a Carmelo guy. He's a me player, and he's a scorer. All he cares about is getting volume. He's a volume shooter. All he cares about is the stats. So, you know, take Carmelo out of it. You have Porzingis. He wants to trade him. Maybe he doesn't want to trade him. Maybe he's just building interest in him. So who knows what's going on there. You signed Joakim Noah to that huge contract. What are you doing there? The guy can't stay healthy, and he's past his prime. Derrick Rose is still a nice player, but you gave him you get him, which is great, but, you know, you resign him, maybe, but not, you know, don't give him the money he had before, but that's not really going to be Phil's call. But the Knicks are a mess, and there's one name that I like out there, and we've discussed this at work, and this is a guy that I've always liked, and you see that what he's doing work now, and he's never going to get the due just credit for it, but I think Sam Hinkie is the guy that James Dolan should look at for the job in New York, because Hinkie had a plan in place with the Sixers that everyone's like, oh, this is stupid. You know, this isn't going to work out. What are you doing? You're going to tank for all these years. Look at the Sixers now. They have all these draft picks. They just got Markelle Fultz. They're everyone's talking about them. They sold out they sold out season tickets for the first time ever. And so, I mean, Hinkie's process worked. I think he could maybe help the Knicks turn around. I know today that Frank Isola from the New York Daily News had a tweet out there saying that a source told him that Isaiah Thomas could be a dark horse to be the team president. Yeah, because that worked out so well the first time he was in New York. So I don't know what the Knicks are doing. Maybe they should have traded Porzingis, because I kind of feel bad for the kid, because he might be the next Dirk, and he's never going to get the accolades because he's playing in New York when he should, because it is New York, but the Knicks are just so dysfunctional that it might not ever work out for him. So hopefully for the sport of basketball, the city of New York, they figure this out, because when the Knicks are good, that's great for basketball, because it's Madison Square Garden is quote unquote the Mecca. So I think it'll eventually get fixed, but I mean, it doesn't look like it's going to fix anytime soon.
Yeah. At some point, I believe the Cleveland Browns sent a giant chocolate cake to the Knicks and said, thanks for taking the crown for most dysfunctional team of all time, because it's just, I mean, at some point, I'm going to bring this up in a minute too about the Browns, but at some point, yeah, I agree with you that, I think it starts at the owner. And if you have a bad owner, we've seen it with other teams, whether it be football, baseball, anything, the bad owner can ruin everything. But I think it was a mix of Dolan not being the world's best owner, Phil being kind of out of his element. He's a coach. I don't think he's much of a front office guy. There is a difference in the two. But it just – I don't know what they can do, really. The best thing they can do is buy out Melo, let him go do whatever he's going to do. Don't worry about if he goes somewhere else and wins. I mean, that's on them to figure that out. But you let him go, that frees up some cap space, frees up some other space. You build around Porzingis. He is probably the only thing Phil did right besides leaving. So, I mean, I would almost say I would like to have Porzingis down here in Atlanta, but we all know how the Hawks kind of do it, and they're kind of approaching Nick level sometimes. Every time they get talent, they decide to blow the team up. So, you know, hopefully Porzingis can stay in New York, and Michael Rapoport can, you know, calm down a little bit. I feel bad. I feel like his blood pressure is up high.
The funny thing about Melo, you mentioned Melo, and I love talking about Melo because, like I said, sure, I've never been a Melo guy. I think Melo, if you buy him out, which is great, that's a good start to rebuilding the Knicks if you buy him out. I honestly want to see him go end up with – I wouldn't mind seeing him actually playing Houston with Chris Paul and James Harden. I'm a big Harden guy. Mm-hmm. We'll get into that after this, but I want to see him. I want to see Melo maybe down there, because I like this. I don't disagree with this whole idea of super teams. I kind of like the idea of it, but it's just with the Knicks, I think that the first start you have to do, I don't think getting rid of Phil was the fresh start they needed. I think getting rid of Melo was the fresh start they needed because he's the superstar that it seems like I don't know what it is about him. He doesn't make his teammates better. He didn't do that in Denver because, you know, immediately after he left with Denver, I mean, I went to the Western Conference Finals with him, but I don't know. There's something about Melo. It just seems like a toxic situation. And I know he wants to stay there because of his kid, which is great. You know, I commend him for that. But the first step is to get rid of him. Try to keep Porzingis, make him happy because you want to build around him. I agree. And don't sleep on Schlenker. I think Travis. I know Travis because he was a weekly guest with us. I think Travis could pull something off. I don't think not for Porzingis, but don't sleep on him and go turning the Hawks around. I'll tell you that right now. Travis is a smart dude. He'll figure it out. But going back to the Knicks, it's just. Get rid of Melo, build around Porzingis. I don't think the Hornacek's their coach. I don't think he's the coach for them either. That was a Phil guy because he wanted a triangle offense. I think you're going to have to push the reset button on finding a coach too. But like I said, bring in Hinkie, start the process over again, and then see if you can get this team back on track, you know, at some point. Because this team hasn't been good since Allen Houston was playing for them. And that was, what, in the early 2000s?
And they're actually still paying Allen Houston at this point.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing with the Knicks too early this year. Remember the Charles Oakley thing, him and James Dolan. Like the Knicks are just—they're just a mess.
Yeah, they right. absolutely are.
You're right. They make the Cleveland Browns make them look good, the Cleveland Browns look good.
Oh yeah, and the thing I was going to bring up real quick before we jump into the mass amount of crazy trades that's happened in the past couple days. You know, up until the Cubs won, at least on the East Coast, and you being former East Coast, you might feel this way too. Even though they're in your division, the Cubs were kind of everybody's second or third favorite team if they weren't your first, because everybody wanted the good story to happen. Everybody wanted the Cubs to win, right?
No, I agree. Everyone did. They're the lovable losers. Everyone wanted the Cubs to win.
Right, and then they won, and it doesn't matter that they're back to being dysfunctional again to where they have to demote catchers who actually speak the truth. That none of their pitchers can pick anybody off or hold a runner on. That's a whole different thing. But now that the Cubs won, and now that that story has been written, and now that Disney has been contacted, and you know, that movie's being made, are the Browns kind of the next team everybody's like kind of halfway cheering for? Because the more I thought about it, I started a new season on my Madden game the other day because I had some free time, and one of the teams I got was the Browns. Now, usually what I do is I get four or five teams. I moved two or three of them around the country just gotta get bored to death. And I love to start with the St. Louis Rams because I can fire Jeff Fisher on the first day and it always makes me feel good. But when I picked the Browns this time, it's like, I kind of want to be that owner that takes the Browns to the Super Bowl and, you know, no euphemism for going to the toilet. But it seems like the Browns are slowly becoming everybody's second favorite team. It seems like everybody now are like, you know, hey, let's, you know, you're a 49ers fan. Man, I really want John Lynch and Shanahan to really do well and do all this. But if it kind of goes south, you know, it'd kind of be cool to see the Browns win. Are they kind of the second team, or am I still far off on this?
I don't disagree with that. I like what the Browns are doing. With Sashi Brown and Paul DePodesta, I like what they're doing. They're trending upward, which is good. Because they could use it. Because they've been a terrible franchise since they re-entered the league in 99. They've had one playoff berth and like two winning seasons since then. I just think that they're not far off. I agree with you on that. And with the Cubs, I'm sorry, but you know, I wanted them to win. I'm glad they won the World Series, but I'm over them already. Like, I love Joe Madden. I think Joe Madden is, it's hard to say because everyone loves Bruce Bochy and he's won the World Series. I think Madden is the best manager in baseball. He's just so smart in what he does and putting guys in the leadoff spot when they're struggling, like Anthony Rizzo. I love that he does that, but I'm not going to go off on the whole Cubs thing. The Montero thing is a joke. You know, the pitchers can't hold people on. When it comes to Montero, runners were 31 of 31 on stealing bases on him this year. Throw someone out, man. You're a professional catcher. Throw somebody out. So there's my take on that. But when it comes to the Browns are going to be a team to watch. I agree with you on that. I want to see it happen sooner than later, especially that division, because I'm so tired of seeing the Steelers and Ravens compete and the Bengals compete every year for that division. So I want to see the Browns be that up and coming team. And also with Jeff Fisher, if you haven't seen it, go on Twitter. I can't remember who has it, but it was an Amazon thing. The video of Fisher telling his coaching staff he got fired. Just watch the video and listen to it.
It was a part of that Amazon series that followed around the Rams, because I guess wildebeest weren't running wild in Africa that day or something like that. That's the second Africa reference. Maybe I'm trying to plan a trip in my head. I don't know. But, yeah, I saw it, and because there's a clip right after that. I know what it was. I was watching Family Guy on demand because I had 30 minutes to burn. And one of the commercials was he walks in and, guys, I was just fired. And he's, like, all disheveled looking. I mean, he looks like he just got out of the closet with, like, his lady friend or something like that. His shirt's untucked. He looks like he just burned through a pack of heaters or something like that. And then the next clip they show is like one of the young guys. I couldn't see who it was because it was such a quick thing. But the guy's like half in tears, like, a man just got fired because of us, guys. Come on. And I was like, yeah, this is why Hard Knocks is so much better than anything else, because it's four episodes and we're done. This Amazon thing, like, is too long. But yeah, I've never liked Jeff Fisher. He doesn't care about his players. He just tries to win the whole time, and I've never been a fan of his. So
he's the most mediocre coach. He had this good couple years in Tennessee. Don't get me wrong. And Lowe always talked about how much he liked Fisher because he was his coach there in Tennessee. But I can't remember how many years Fisher's been in the league. The stat on him, I'd have to go back and look. But there was a stat on Fisher where, like, 16 or 17 of his years in the NFL, he's been 500 or worse in his career as a head coach. He's only had a couple seasons where he was any good, and they were all in Tennessee. But the year they were like 13-3 and 12-4, and the rest of them were all like 8-8 or under with them. But he's Mr. 7-9. If you remember him with the Rams, they're always 7-9.
Yep.
They can never get over the 7-9 hump, because that Rams team has talent, and they really do. I think they have talent, but I don't think Fisher's the right guy. I like what they're doing now. So with Sean McVay as their coach, so I like what they're doing there with him. But yeah, the Fisher thing was the video came out today, and we're like, we immediately rolled with that today and this morning on the show. So it's just crazy, because you're right, because you know, players like we just got a guy fired. I would say it's all on the players. I mean, yeah, your record reflects that, but if Fisher's not liked and he's not giving, you know, you just got moved to LA, you're going to get a beautiful new stadium, and
mm-hmm.
He hasn't done anything. He hasn't done anything. Like, in St. Louis, he's done not St. Louis and LA. He's done nothing. So I think it was time for him. It was definitely time for him to go. But I didn't mean to take us off track and get that in reference to, well, whatever, because it's Jeff Fisher. So sorry to drag the program down on that one.
No, not at all. In a way, Jeff Fisher looks like the like younger version of Cito Gaston, if we want to really throw out a baseball name there, and it's kind of weird that way. But no, what
well,
I also think
well,
it comes down to with the go ahead.
I would say with Cito Gaston, at least he won a World Series. But
true,
you know,
he was a dang good coach.
Fisher never won a Super Bowl. He lost the Super Bowl. So I mean, I don't know. I mean, the guy's mediocre at best. His record reflects Mr. 7-9, so he's not even mediocre. He's below average. But all right, I'm done talking about Fisher.
Yeah. Real quickly, what I was going to say is all these teams that moved, especially the ones that are in real vibrant cities, especially in the LA, you're over in the West Coast. You're over in California. I mean, you got to think about the 49ers needed a new coach. They need a new fresh face. So they go with John Lynch, who looks like he could be Patrick Warburton's cousin, which is not a bad thing. Warburton's hilarious. Shanahan, a young, fresh, vibrant coach. You're on the West Coast. You need to be trendy. You need to be almost pop culture-ish. Jeff Fisher doesn't scream, hey, come to this beach town and watch football. Somebody like Sean McVay does. Somebody like Shanahan does. So, I mean, it's not just marketing, and I'm not saying McVay got picked to be the coach just off of his looks or his the fact that he's younger than everybody else, because I think he's only got me by a couple years. But it comes down to you're really good at your job and your image fits the part. It's that pro wrestling mentality, and we'll transition to that in a minute. But it's that pro wrestling mentality. It's you can be the best fighter in the world, but if you don't look the part, you may not even get the opportunity. You could be the best wrestler in the world, but if you don't look the part, you're probably not going to get the opportunity. I think we're finally seeing the NFL start to do this with some of the coaches. I think Dan Quinn getting hired in Atlanta had a lot to do with. He looks like a guy who should not only be a good head coach and be everybody's friend and be a really good coach as far as that. He looks like a guy who could lead a company in Atlanta. So it works.
I agree. I think I agree if the NFL needs to look the part. Fisher, I guess he looked the part. I mean, with the mustache, which was in back in the early 90s, I guess. I'm not
talking
anymore.
You can't show up like that in Nashville. It doesn't work. That's why he got fired. You can't show up like that in L.A. It doesn't work. That's why he got fired. If this was L.A. in the 70s, that mustache would be killing.
Yeah, he might be doing something that's not football related, if it was popular still. I agree with you with the image and trendy, because that's right. People out here are very excited about Shanahan and Lynch taking over the 49ers because they're young. Lynch is, young is in a sense of a GM, but Kyle Shanahan's young as an NFL head coach. He's going to be about the second youngest coach behind McVay. So I believe that's check. I have to go back and check that, but I believe that's right. So it's a good thing. You got a lot of these guys, trending upward, which is good. And your image is everything. And you're right about the pro wrestling mentality. That's always one thing that's always bugged me for years. When it came to the WWE, it was the way you have to look the part. I think that's a joke. But I'm glad Fisher's out of the NFL. I'm sure some team will hire him again at some point, and they'll be 7-9 for 4 straight years, and then he'll get fired again.
So as we always are here on Sports Club, we're kind of all over the place. But once again, we're a sports club, so we're going to be like any other club. We're kind of all over the place. The DJ's always spinning some stuff. Before we get into, we're going to kind of go back to NBA for a minute. Before we get into the Houston trade, I just saw this. This just come across the desk here. Apparently, John Calipari taking over for Phil Jackson is kind of got some legs to it and drawing some merit. What do you think about that?
Why? Cal's a great coach at Kentucky. He's a Western PA guy, so I always root for him. But it's just, I don't know why he doesn't have an NBA track record. This is another reason. He's just a name. The Knicks are trying to throw a name in there. Get a guy that could build a team, not a guy that's just a name. Calipari, what's he gonna do? You can't get one and done to come play for the Knicks, so that's not gonna work.
Maybe he can.
I guess he could. What's he going to do? Is he going to get aging veterans to come play for them? You already have Joakim Noah and Derrick Rose. And Carmelo. What else are you going to do? That one's just silly. I'd have to look and see who's floating this around. But Calipari as a head coach, okay, maybe. But as a president, no. There's no way. I would not. That's a name hire for Dolan. He's going to try to drum up interest, and that's just going to fail miserably, like Isaiah Thomas did the first time.
Exactly. And then I know you guys talked about it all morning over there on the West Coast. So kind of fill everybody in on this Houston trade that developed late yesterday afternoon.
Guys. Yeah, it's are you referencing the Chris Paul trade?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. The Chris Paul that broke like yesterday morning, like 8:45 at 8:45 our time. So it would have been 11:45 your time when that all went down. And it's just crazy because that trade happens. It's like, oh, Chris Paul's opting into his contract and they're trading him. And it's like they're trading him. So it's like, okay, so Jerry West leaves the Warriors to go take over to help the Clippers, which is great because Jerry West has a great track record of rebuilding teams with the Lakers and the Grizzlies and now the Warriors. And we'll see what he does with the Clippers. But Chris Paul is arguably might be the second best player ever in the Clippers franchise history behind Bob McAdoo. I know they never won a title, but the Clippers' six best years were with Chris Paul as the point guard for that team. I thought that they would end up trying to keep him and not Blake Griffin. I'm not a Blake guy, so I wanted to see Blake kind of exit that team. But I like seeing Chris Paul and James Harden play together down there in Houston. I'm a big Daryl Morey guy. I like what Morey's doing with the analytics and all that. I think that's he's helping change the way basketball is being played. Same with Travis Schlenk, same with Bob Myers, all those guys that buy the three-point line a lot, which is great because – as they say, a three-pointer is worth more than two, which is great. But with Chris Paul being traded there, I think the Clippers – thinking more and more at the trade, I think the Clippers want to trade. They got, seven players in that trade, including a protected first-round draft pick. Getting back to a player like Sam Decker, who's a good young player, Montrezl Harrell, who's a good young player. You got a six-man of the year candidate in Lou Williams on the team. I like what they did. I don't think Houston's done. I think Houston's going to try to get Paul George, which I think you're going to overpay for him. I like Paul George. I think he's a good player. If I'm a GM, I don't overvalue him. Because he hasn't done anything in Indiana to merit a mass over, you know, mass haul to bring him in, because he's gonna be a free agent after next year. So what are you gonna do? You're having for a year and then that's it. So I and who knows what Houston even has left to get him? I mean, they don't have a lot of players left. They have to try to get rid of Ryan Anderson and a few other people. But I like seeing Chris Paul and James Harden together. But I want to see. I don't know how it's going to work because they're both ball dominant players, especially Harden. Harden's, you know, had the second highest usage rate in the league last year. And when it comes to D'Antoni's offense, he's perfect for it because he has the ball in his hands every single possession. So when you have Chris Paul on the team, who's a ball-dominant guard, who's going to command the ball, it's going to be interesting to see how D'Antoni works this dynamic out, because I don't know if Harden's going to be one of those guys who can play off the ball as well as people think he can, because he's always used to having the ball in his hands. So I want to see how it works out. But like I said, I don't think that Houston's done yet. They still might try to get someone else, which is great. But they're nowhere close to competing with the Warriors still, because the matchups just don't pan out yet.
Well, the main question I wanted to pose to you, and I know you may be slightly biased, and I totally understand it because I would be too. Are the Houston Rockets now good enough or close enough to be competition for the Warriors in a 7-game series?
No, see, a lot of people are going to say no. I think yes. And it's weird why I say it, because defensively they have no shot, because James Harden guards no one. Chris Paul is aging. You got rid of some of your good players that were on your team. Nene is gone. He's not longer with the team. He's a free agent. You do have Clint Capella still, who's a good young center, but that doesn't matter. The Warriors don't have a center. They can throw a box of rocks out there, and that's who Capella will guard. But if they get Paul George, if you look at it, as I said, if Houston gets Paul George, you have him and Kevin Durant matching up. Steph Curry will beat Chris Paul. James Harden and Klay Thompson will match up. So who's covering? Who's going to cover Draymond Green? And you saw Kevin Durant, who will be the best player on the court. So, but when it comes to Houston, why I think they have a shot, they're one of the best, if not the best, 3-point shooting team in the league. That's what they do. They shot more 3-pointers than anybody. So I think they match up well at the Warriors because of their ability to shoot the three with Harden and Ryan Anderson, and Chris Paul is a decent 3-point shooter. So I think that's the only reason they can match up. So I think they're closer than the Spurs. It's close because the Spurs are good, but as you saw, the Warriors swept the Spurs out of the second round. So the Western Conference Finals. Sorry, my apologies. The Western Conference Finals. So I think that the Spurs are aging, and once Tony Parker comes back, they might be a little better. I think Houston might be the biggest foe to them right now, but they're still not anywhere close. Even D'Antoni said that. He goes, we're still not close to competing with the Warriors. So we'll see what they do, if they get Paul George, or if they try to get someone else, you know, try to lure a Gordon Hayward there or a Paul Millsap or someone. But as of right now, I think they're probably the only team in the West that's the closest to the Warriors.
Yeah, I would definitely agree, and we will definitely revisit this in the NBA here a little bit later on, probably. But our guest is on the line. I want to bring him on right now. He is you can see him pretty much daily. I missed it earlier, but I didn't get home in time to catch it. He is on Fox 5. He is one of the main sports guys. He is all over Atlanta. He is all over the world covering some of these Atlanta events. He is Justin Felder. How are you doing, Justin?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We are doing pretty good. As you could tell, we were knee-deep in trying to figure out how the NBA exploded and suddenly become the NFL of now being a year-long sport.
I know. They figured something out. I mean, the NFL, you're right, got us talking year-round, and now NBA free agency is like the biggest thing right now. It's like you barely even notice baseball is playing. There's new news every single day, every single hour with the NBA. So I don't know what Commissioner Silver told these teams to get them to time out their releases and breaking news, but it's working.
Well, he probably got with Goodell and asked how he did it and then relayed the message to the other owners in the NBA.
I like it. It's working.
But for people who don't know who you are, real quickly, just kind of give just a basic summary of your story up to this point.
Yeah, so I work over at Fox 5, based out of Atlanta, so we cover a little bit of everything, high school, college, pro, just local stuff going on. Been talking a lot about the Peachtree Road Race lately, so gearing up for that, Atlanta United. Before I worked here, I worked in Green Bay, Wisconsin for 4.5 years, which was awesome. Covered the Packers basically every day. That was, you know, we did everything. But like you said, the NBA is year round now. The Packers were really, really, really year round. So that was cool. It was cold. So I can deal with the summer heat now, no problem. And before that, I worked in South Carolina in Myrtle Beach, and I went to the University of Florida. So any Georgia grads out there, we're just going to have to agree to disagree on that one.
Well, real quickly, I know Cody's got some questions as well. Real quickly, since you were in Green Bay for 4.5 years, what are your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers and how his career has kind of went up there?
Yeah, I mean, it was phenomenal to watch him. Honestly, the only guy that it compares to in terms of just watching him day to day at practice and at games is Julio Jones. I mean, both are just freaks in different ways. Just the things that they can do, obviously very different skill sets and what they're trying to do. But he was the guy that just seemed to be on another level. And I mean, won the team a Super Bowl, a botched onside kick away from going to another Super Bowl. I think there are fans in Green Bay who are starting to feel like, oh man, are they kind of wasting or missing the prime of a future Hall of Famer's career? But, you know, I think still clearly one of the top, what, 2, 3, maybe 1 quarterbacks in the league, and no real signs of slowing down. So as long as he's at that level and with what Tom Brady does at, you know, 40, he's got a while left. I think they're going to be contenders.
Yeah, I have Aaron at number 2 by far, just because I'm a big Brady homer anyway. But yeah, you know, and even here locally, Matt Ryan is working his way up that list. You know, he's still got a leapfrog people like Big Ben and Drew Brees, but those guys are a little older than he is. So I you know, Matt Ryan's got his place, and I think he does well. Atlanta's a tough market. I mean, you know that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, it's funny. We don't talk a lot about it because it's media talking about other media, and that's no fun for anybody. But like the NFL top 100, Matt Ryan was what, number 10, and some people are saying, well, the MVP's number 10 last year in the voting by his peers. He wasn't in the top 100. So I think certainly a guy clearly among his peers gaining respect around the league, and for good reason.
Absolutely. And then you said you spent some time in Myrtle Beach. Does that mean you play golf?
Not very well. I was up at Kent Bazemore's charity event at Topgolf yesterday and doing, I thought, pretty well for myself. And then one of the guys who you know, donated to be able to go to the event goes up next and just doubled up my score. And I'm like, all right, so I guess I'm not that good. But, yeah, I play – that was a golfer's paradise, I'll tell you what. If any golf fans have probably already made a trip to Myrtle Beach, but I'm open for – I'm available for suggestions of good budget courses where you're not going to waste your money if you're shooting 110.
Oh, we could definitely hang out then. I always say that my golf handicap is that I'm a golfer. But, Cody, I think you had a question.
Yeah, hey, Justin, this is Cody. I'm actually a producer out at 95.7 The Game in San Francisco on the Warriors flagship. So good to have you on, man. I do have a question for you in regards to Travis Schlenk. I know you mentioned Ken Bazemore. Everyone here loved Baze when he played for the Warriors. He was a great bench guy, getting the fans fired up. What was the overall reaction when everyone heard that the Hawks were hiring Travis Schlenk to be the new GM of the Hawks?
You know, I don't know that there was a particularly, like, visceral reaction to you know, a GM hire, because the GM, the outgoing one, wasn't, you know, super well-known or out in front of everything. It really seems like a team over the last couple of years that's been kind of controlled by Mike Budenholzer, the head coach, who also was, you know, in charge of operations, came from the Greg Popovich tree with the Spurs. So it seems like it's going to be a little bit more power going to the GM now, where before the head coach kind of had all those responsibilities. I think people here are excited to hear, you know, that a guy who found Draymond Green in the second round and was right on Steph Curry and Klay Thompson is going to be in charge of those personnel decisions. But also, you know, big news right out of the gate was trading Dwight Howard. So I think it's pretty clear he's not going to, you know, be shy and making bold steps early. So I think that, you know, 10 straight playoff appearances for the Hawks, a lot of teams would trade their soul for that kind of run of success, but still, you know, waiting and not really seemingly that close to getting over that championship hump.
Well, the good thing about the thing I noticed with Travis too is he getting rid of Dwight Howard is a move tying into the Warriors model, because if you look at the Warriors, they don't have a center either, especially a high pay center like Dwight Howard was. So I thought that was a good move for what they did. And then, you know, what was your overall, what was your take on the draft? How do you think he did in his first draft as a GM, bringing players to the Hawks and hopefully trying to get them to compete and get back to the him and Bud getting the team back to the Eastern Conference Finals, because they were just there, what, 2 years ago? So I mean, or 3 years ago? So.
Yeah, so, I mean, but remember that team that made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, if Paul Millsap were to leave, then you're left with, you know, nobody really from that team in terms of players, with, you know, Damari Carroll and Jeff Teague and Kyle Korver and all these key guys, Al Horford, all gone. And I think, you know, you're looking at the Dwight Howard move again. It does kind of go back into what worked with the Hawks, similar to the Warriors, when they were making the Eastern Conference Finals. It was Millsap, Horford, two, you know, large people, but not traditional centers. As far as the draft goes, I think it kind of is almost a wait and see, not because of the players they picked, but because of what's going to happen with Paul Millsap and Tim Hardaway. I mean, if Paul Millsap comes back, if Tim Hardaway comes back, all of a sudden these guys, you know, you look at and say, okay, they're kind of projects. Maybe Tyler Dorsey out of Oregon can come in, be a shooter right away and just focus on, you know, spreading the floor, and John Collins, first round pick, can kind of develop. If Millsap leaves, then all of a sudden you're saying, hey, John Collins looked at maybe as kind of a project out of Wake. You might be starting day one. We'll see what happens. So I think their roles are very much dependent, especially on if Paul Millsap is back.
I hope they I hope they bring back Millsap, because I like his game, and I think he fits in well with the Hawks. And like I said with Travis, I know the guy. He from being my time out here in the Bay Area, I think you guys have a great GM on hand there. So I wish nothing but the best for Travis and the Hawks going forward, because I've always been a big Bud guy. And I still think – I'll put this by you, because you watch the Hawks. You cover the Hawks daily. And I've told this with Jeremy before and a lot of other people. Do you think when Pop steps down, Bud would leave to take the job with the Spurs?
Oh, good question.
Do you think
question.
He's next in line?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, he has a really good situation here in terms of, you know, having you know, a power structure that he's helped design, and a team now that he has really – you know, brought in the guys he wants. It's a good question. He's not somebody that really talks a ton about his time in San Antonio. He's always focused on here, and he'll talk about Popovich, especially when they play the Spurs. But I've never really gotten a clear indication that, yeah, he would want to, you know, jump ship right away. But, you know, that's one of the premier franchises right now with this history of winning. I guess it would depend ultimately on what you have, you know, on the team and the situation. Then again, if the Hawks start to go in the wrong direction, you know, he might not be as appealing a candidate in a year or two or three.
I agree with you on that, because the same thing, because Brett Brown was one of those
definitely
guys who pop assistant.
Hey, Daddy.
No, I agree with you, because Brett Brown was the same way, because the Sixers coach, he's a pop assistant, and he gets all the praise in the world for how, you know, for how, I guess you could say, how well the Sixers are performing when they're not really performing that well. So I get what you're saying. I hope Coach Bud keeps it going, because I like that idea of him taking over the Spurs in a couple of years when Pop eventually steps down. But you're right. He has a great situation in Atlanta, and I hope that he gets it back on track. Because I'm gonna be a little biased here. Growing up in Pittsburgh, I'm tired of seeing Cleveland win.
Understandable, yeah. I don't think there are a lot of Cavs fans here with the way they've rudely dismissed the Hawks from the playoffs. I guess not this year. That they knocked out before they could see Cleveland, but each of the years before that for several in a row.
And, of course, we're talking with Justin Felder from Fox 5 Atlanta. Have you made it out to a hockey game yet?
To a hockey game?
Yes.
In my life or here in Atlanta?
Here in Atlanta.
No, I haven't.
Oh, we got to get you out to a game then, because one of the other things we do here at Impact Media, we cover the Gladiators and the NHL for a video show we do. But yeah, the Gladiators are a fantastic watch, even when they're not very good, which was a lot of last season. I'm not afraid to admit. But I'll even put in some calls. We'll have to get you out to a hockey game. But I know you also cover the Atlanta United for a lot of stuff as well. What's that been like this year? Because usually a first-year team in any sport doesn't go on a pretty decent run, and it seems like we got a pretty good mix of guys, even when the top guys are out for yellow cards, red cards, for injuries, anything like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, speaking of, you know, being in the first year, you knew there would be excitement. Some people would be into it, but they've sold out every game. I mean, it's been awesome getting to those games at Bobby Dodd. Honestly, I know they're real excited, and Arthur Blank's real excited about Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and that's going to be great. It's going to be really cool, and it's going to be new. But there's just something about being at, you know, a smaller stadium that I think they're really going to miss when they do leave Bobby Dodd later on in the summer. But it's been great, and I'll tell you what, they went the route of bringing in a little bit higher-priced, younger players from Latin America, especially with their designated players. They can only get a certain amount in the MLS that they can pay, you know, a higher salary to. That's often the overseas guys that you see playing in the league. And the guys that they've brought in, Miguel Almiron, Joseph Martinez, Hector Villalba, they've been awesome. And these guys, they're young, they're excited, they're – you know, you can really see a lot of their personality in the way they play. And you know what? The stands have been full. It's been a great atmosphere. I'm really excited to see where this team goes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Gressel's my guy. Just what little bit of English Premier League I'm familiar with. I was trying to get into the MLS because I knew we were getting the team and everything. But from the first time I saw Gressel play, I'm like, that's my dude right there.
Yeah, and a rookie that you know, people expected these designated players to come in and be really good. He was a guy that came in and was like, all right, well, if he plays a little bit, he's really been certainly a revelation. And now you're going to bring in Brad Guzan, the U.S. Mm-hmm. national team goalkeeper, later on here in July, going to join up officially with the team. So I think it's you know, by the end of the year, and we still have a lot of games left, it's not going to be a team anybody wants to play in the playoffs. They might not be the number one seed, but they'll have – probably as much talent as anybody in the MLS if they're able to get in the playoffs. Their big problem is they've been unbeatable at home and they cannot win on the road, including losing to Miami last night, a team that's not in the MLS, but granted they
right.
played only a handful of starters in that one.
Right. Yeah, it's been fun to watch because I have a few friends that – it's a lot of my old hockey friends. We used to go to all the Thrasher games together that I've said, you know, the Gladiators are still here. You need to come see them. I'm slowly integrating a lot of them back into hockey, and they're like, all right,
yeah.
We watch hockey with you. You're the only person I know that'll sit through a soccer game with me. I was like, yeah, I actually like soccer a good bit. So I'm like their soccer buddy, and in return they watch the hockey. So, I mean, it's been fun. And like you were saying, you know, it's been so great that we have more than one star. It's a team that was built just – out of nowhere, but it had a purpose. It's something that the Hawks are trying to do, put together that nucleus to do those kinds of things. The Falcons have clearly done it. The Braves are on their way to doing it. I think Cody's got some baseball questions. Cody, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, just I got a couple baseball questions. I'm a big baseball guy. I want to ask
yeah.
you what's the overall first impression of Sean Newcomb pitching for the Braves? I know he's one of the maybe the best return they got in that deal for Andrelton Simmons a couple of years ago. So what is your overall opinion of him, and what do you think he's the guy that can lead this Braves team into the future? And part two of this will be, are the Braves ahead of schedule right now with the way they're rebuilding with the team?
Yeah, I think first of all with Newcomb, I mean, he has been everything you'd want and more out of this midseason call-up. Just got his first win, but really he's deserved a couple more wins. He really didn't get any run support in his first few starts. His stuff's been great. He gets guys on base and then gets into jams, and you think that's where a young pitcher is going to struggle. He finds another gear, gets out of jams. His curveball is, you know, leaving guys looking silly out there. He's been excellent so far. I think everybody kind of expects, you know, still a young guy, there are going to be bumps in the road, but the stuff he has definitely looks like somebody who can be a front of the line starter, you know, down the road for a very good team. And as far as the Braves overall, I think they're on schedule. I think it's kind of, you know, distorted a little bit because of how weird this division's been. I mean, Braves in second place, but the Mets have had their struggles, and the Phillies and the Marlins, they've just not been great. So the Braves have kind of been, I think, where they kind of expected to be, at or below 500 by a little bit. And if they can somehow get to and start playing 500 baseball, they feel like, hey, maybe they can, you know, go get on a run, make a little noise. They're not too far back in the Nationals, but I think that's kind of, you know, where they expect right now to be on the upward trend, but not quite a playoff team yet.
Well, I have two more when it comes to the Braves. I saw that Big Sexy was DFA'd today. So what's the plan to replace him in the rotation? Do they plan on calling someone else up? And what's the plan for that going forward? Because Bartolo is a big fan favorite everywhere, and him pitching for the A's, people here love him. So it's sad to see his career maybe coming to an end after this year has just been a terrible year for him.
Yeah, just really couldn't find anything. And, I mean, people here were excited about him. And even if he could have just come in and be an average starter, kind of a bridge to those younger guys, it would have been a real boon to give, you know, some of those – that plethora of young pitching, they have some more time to get ready in the minors. But to answer your question with the rotation, Newcomb actually kind of took his spot while Bartolo was on the disabled list with an oblique injury. And then they brought him back kind of as a six-man rotation for, you know, one start or a couple, and it turns out it will just have been one. So right now they do have their five starters with Newcomb sliding in there and Colon out on the market. Who knows? Maybe the Mets will call him up and he can have another, reappearing act with them.
or go back to the A's.
I was about to say, Cody, before you finish, let me just say that my beloved Mets, I grew up a Yankees and Mets fan. Thank goodness the Yankees are doing something. My Mets, the whole problem this year is they mistaked May for September. Instead of collapsing in September, they decided to do it in May. So you guys can continue.
So they're ahead of schedule.
Yeah, they are. Way ahead.
My only thing was with Freddie Freeman, do you think the third base experiment is going to work out for him? I like Freddie as a player. I think he's a great young player. Defensively, he's great at first base, a hitter. He's very underrated. Do you think the third base experiment is going to work out for him if they actually end up going through with it?
And I think they're going to go through with it. As far as we know, he's starting a rehab assignment on Saturday with the AAA team, and the plan is for him to play, I believe, three AAA games and then either return for the series right before the break or the series right after the All-Star break. So they're full speed ahead with this, unless they're pulling a fast one for some reason. But he's been working out there with Ron Washington. I think, like you said, he's been like a Gold Glove caliber first baseman. So if that can translate into an average third baseman, then I guess it works. Matt Adams has been so good at first base, not defensively necessarily, but his bat has been so good. They really just feel like they want to keep that bat in the lineup any way they can, and Freddie's the more natural candidate to slide over to third base. He can do it, whereas I don't think they feel like Adams can, and they don't want to, you know, deprive the lineup of both those bats. So I don't know. We haven't seen – nobody's seen Freddie Freeman in a game play third base since, what, like high school, I think?
Yeah,
I don't think anybody knows exactly how he'll react.
Well, you have the best guy possible to help turn him around, because, like you said, you mentioned Ron Washington. Washington is one of the – that guy is like a czar when it comes to turning field, because he did it with Marcus Semien out here in Oakland. Marcus was the worst defensive shortstop in baseball, and Marcus cut his errors down dramatically last season. So Washington is one of the best guys to have, if not the best, helping guys turn around. It was sad to see him go when he left the A's. And as he says, as Billy Beane asks him in Moneyball, tell him, Wash, it's incredibly hard while playing first base.
Yeah.
So that's one of the best quotes in that movie.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, when you go to a Braves game, if you get there early, I mean really early, every day it's Ron Washington out there with one of those young infielders just sitting 5 feet away from him on a little bucket of balls, just hitting ground balls, whether it's Freddie at third base lately or Rio Ruiz who came up from third base. I remember all spring training long, every morning it was him and Ozzie Albies, who's a big-time prospect at shortstop and second base. He's in AAA right now. It's every morning. He is the infield guru. So you're absolutely right. And the guys talk about him just like, man, I've never seen anybody who loves teaching infield so much. And they love it.
I actually, this is how I felt when I saw that Wash was getting hired by the Braves. I felt like Wash was actually going to be the next manager of the team before they resigned Snitker to that extension. Because I thought Wash is a guy that's had success. I'm like, as you can tell, I'm kind of more of a little bit of a conspiracy theorist here, but I like what Wash has done, especially with Texas and then helping the A's turn around Marcus Semien. I think he'd be great for a young team like Atlanta. But like I said, they resigned Snitker to the extension. So I'm happy to see the Braves turning it around because, you know, all those years where they're so good when they're winning division titles, like, what, 13 straight division titles, only one World Series. I always felt bad because I love Greg Maddux. He's my favorite player of all time. So I'm always going to go back to watching. Hopefully they you know, do well again, because the only memory forever for me of them is I grew up a Pirates fan. I'm a diehard Pirates fan. When Sid Bream could beat Barry Bonds' throw I will never, ever root for the Braves in the World Series, but I will root for them until they get to the World Series, because that I'll never forget that play ever.
Fair enough.
And I was three when that happened. So no hard feelings. I was only three when that happened. No hard feelings anymore.
Yeah.
I kind of go.
You're still getting over it.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Wow. Way to make us feel old there. I remember that vividly. I was a little bit older than three during that. And Cody, if it makes you feel any better, if you go back and watch the replay, he was actually out.
I don't want to hear that. It doesn't matter. Bond set our franchise back 20 years. I don't want to hear that.
Jeez,
wow.
Salt in an open wound.
Oh, yeah.
It's
one of the few times I can take a shot at him there, and we go back and forth a lot on this show, but that's one of the few I can catch him in baseball.
Well, because if you look at it, everyone that complains, oh, my team has been, you know, we're so bad right now. Oh, like, you're a Browns fan. My team lost for 20 straight seasons. When you lose for 20 straight years, come talk to me.
It's a good point. And as we finish up here with Justin Felder from Fox 5, it's been fantastic having you on. But what I don't understand about the Freddie thing, now, I'm a big Matt Adams fan. I knew he was not going to be the next Pujols, even though the Cardinals thought so. So when we acquired him, I knew that would fix the first base problem. If Freddie wants to learn how to play third base, why wouldn't he just call up his BFF Chipper? Because that seems like the guy who would teach him how to play third base.
Yeah, and you know what? It's funny. The first day that this kind of came out, that people saw, like, hey, he's taking some ground balls at third base. He said that he told Chipper, and Chipper kind of said, really? You sure you want to do that? And Chipper Jones even tweeted, like, yeah, this is interesting. We'll see how that works out. So, yeah, you're right. He does have a mentor in that respect. And, hey, you know what? Both guys, the athletic big guys, both guys high school shortstops. So you got to figure – or not high school shortstops in Freddie's case. But anyway, you got to figure they have that kind of athleticism. These guys are, you know, world elite athletes. They can do it. And if you can slide in there and be an average defensive third baseman, then, yeah, it's definitely worth it to keep, you know, your two best hitting options in the lineup.
Well, like I said, Justin, it's been fantastic getting to have you on the show. I know we've had conversations at the various Georgia State and other events, and I know I'll see you later this fall, if not sometime late summer. How can somebody follow and see all of the many things you do for Fox 5?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter. It's Justin_Fox5, or Facebook, Justin Felder, Fox 5. Yeah, definitely get in touch, and look forward to seeing you out and about, too. Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, no problem. Have a great rest of your night, and we'll see you later down the road.
All right, see you guys.
And, of course, that was Justin Felder from Fox 5. That was fun. That was I guess that's really one of the it's been a while since we've had another media guy on, but he does some fantastic stuff. I've known him for a couple years. I actually met him at the Georgia State Bowl game a couple years ago. I don't have to specify which one because there's only been one. But, yeah, he's a super guy. I know you had fun with it too, right?
So, of course. I love talking about the Braves and the Hawks, because I guess I like Travis Schlenk, so I'm glad that happened.
Mm-hmm.
He was very good, well spoken. I really enjoyed having him on. Is he a guy, Haberman? I'm still gonna be a little biased. Haberman's my guy, but he's the second best guest we've had on this program. Sorry, Todd, you're probably third.
Yeah, I think Todd's okay being third on that list. I may be a little biased and say I would probably take Justin over Habes, even though I'm a big Habes fan. But you know, as we finish up here, because we're in the final countdown, which I guess we should, if we had a sound bite like that, but I guess I'll have to do it because our sound guy's been kind of falling down. But the final countdown of the show here, want to finish up with NHL, or you want to do this top five wrestler debate?
Let's see, hockey. Well, I told you forever Fleury was going to be the goalie of the Golden Knights. That's all I really had. That was my hot take, and it came true. So I really have nothing
I've been saying it for a month and a half. So when that happened, I just went, go back and look at every show I've done the last month and a half. I keep saying they're stupid if they don't take Fleury.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And I like them having James Neal. I have to go through and look at their entire roster, but I know they have James Neal as well. And
yep.
Isn't Brandon McNabb there too? The defenseman from the Kings. Yeah, so they have a couple of good. David Schlemko, I saw they drafted him from the Sharks and they traded him immediately. So feel bad for the guy, but I saw that happen. But let's do the wrestling debate. I haven't talked about wrestling in a while. I figured that'd be good.
Okay.
Maybe we can put the reply all email thing on hold for another time.
Yeah, yeah. We'll definitely do that. We will, you know, how we hashtag in 2 weeks, I guess, would be our greatest one for this show. We'll hit that up in 2 weeks or so. You know, it doesn't even have to be in any kind of order. If you want to go ahead and tell me who you think the top five wrestlers in the world are, you can make a case for them or you can just list them out. I actually had two honorable mentions as well, just because my final spot was pretty hard, but feel free to go ahead.
You know, okay, so I'm always going to be a big – this is in no particular order. I'm a big Seth Rollins guy, always have been, because the guys I've always liked are Daniel Bryan and CM Punk. They're no longer in WWE, so they're gone. So I'm going to go with Seth Rollins. I'm a big Rollins guy. I really like Kevin Owens. I'd go Bray Wyatt. Dean Ambrose. I'm a big Ambrose guy. And if I had to pick a guy that's so underrated who I really like, and, you know, he's so up and down with WWE, I'm a big Cesaro fan. I love just everything, just the way he is. His physique, he's fast, he's strong. He's kind of like, to me, I would say he's like a hybrid almost, because I like how he is. I just don't think he gets enough run with them. I just don't get what it is with him. I'd have to go with them. And then am I leaving anyone out? I mean, there's other people, you know, that,
oh,
that
sure.
I like.
I mean, we could do a top 20, but, I mean, top five is probably long enough for the show.
And I'll do an honorable mention. I'm a big Orton guy, too. I'm glad to see Orton still doing something, but those are my top five. Like I said, I still pay attention here and there. I kind of lost a lot of interest with it whenever some of the guys I used to like I said, Brian and Punk, and then they started taking chances away from people, and Seth Rollins got hurt for that time with his knee. It's just I started losing a little bit of interest, but it seems like they're picking up back more with AJ Styles being there and the Hardy Boys. So I'm glad to see it's still going, but that would be my top five, and I guess top six if you include Orton.
Like I said, I did. I mean, if I included Orton, then he would be an honorable mention as well, even though I'm a huge fan of his. I like a lot of the classic guys, but a lot of these indie guys are growing on me. Now, remember, I said in the world. If I wanted to do WWE, then I could take out two of my guys and put in my honorable mentions. My honorable mentions were Bray Wyatt and John Cena. The only reason John Cena wasn't in my top five list, no matter you like him, you hate him, he's just so much better than everybody else. I mean, he literally is the LeBron of this. Or LeBron may be the John Cena of basketball, actually. But he hasn't been wrestling recently, and he's just now going to come back and beat up an Arab guy and take the title and that kind of stuff that we all saw coming. But the five I have, I'll go with the three you probably know, and then I'll explain who the other two are. You know what? I did have Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt was my fifth on there. I say that now. AJ Styles. The way I qualified this top five was every match that I've seen from these guys in the last 6 months have been five-star matches, even if their opponent was not the best in the world, was not really good. They made their opponent better. The kind of people that could wrestle a mop, and you'd think the mop was Ric Flair. But I got Bray Wyatt. I got AJ Styles. I got Finn Balor, who just came out of nowhere because I used to not like him at all. And then my other two that you may or may not know are Kazuchika Okada and Kenny Omega, who are over in New Japan. And WWE has been trying to get both of them. Okada is like the Randy Orton over there, so he's not leaving because they got Nakamura from over there. They got a couple other guys. Gallows and Anderson came from over there. That's kind of where the Bullet Club took off. But Kenny Omega, they're in talks of trying to get him, but I think his number is just high enough. He wants to kind of go down as the best guy to never sign with them. But that's kind of my five. I don't know if you're familiar with Omega and Okada, but if not, find Access TV on the weekends or go to YouTube and look up these guys. It is unbelievable what they're doing.
Yeah, I've heard of Omega before. Because when I was really into wrestling, you know, a couple of years ago, I've always been a huge CM Punk fan with him doing all the
yes.
stuff. And even with Dean Ambrose, I've always been a big fan of both of them. Like I said, I don't know what it is with WWE anymore. I just lost interest with it. I don't know if it's the bad writing, if it's the same repeat champions over and over again. Although I have seen, I'm going to sound a little ignorant with this, but Jinder Mahal, what is he? How big of a star is he right now? Because this is a guy that's part of three man band.
Right?
Come on, man. Now he's like one of the biggest guys in the industry. It's like, what happened here? What happened? And then I read something about Fandango being a bigger name now. So it's like, the guy was such a jobber, and now he's a bigger name. What is going on?
Well, first of all, Fandango and Tyler Breeze are Breezango now. They're kind of a comedy duo, but they're fantastic workers, really cool tag team. They're worth watching. When I watch Raw and SmackDown, most of the time I don't watch live anymore. I watch the DVR so that I can fast forward through the stupid crap and through people talking all the time and stuff like that. Yeah, it's so much easier that way. And that's, you know, unfortunate, WWE, until you change it, I'm going to keep doing that because there's no reason for me to tune in live when I can watch a 3.5-hour Raw in an hour 10. Who's the other guy? Who's the other guy you said? Oh, Jinder Mahal.
Jinder Mahal, yeah.
Basically, what happened was he went from being the third best member of a three-man band to getting released, clearly finding some substance to get jacked so we could see all of his veins, really worked on his in-ring work, got rehired as kind of a halfway gimmick thing that involved Heath Slater, but he got rehired, really just kept working his butt off, working, and to where they kind of said, you know, all those other times we tried to promote an Arab descent guy, even though Jinder Mahal's from Canada, clearly his lineage goes into the Arab world. They were able to put the two NXT guys with him to give him kind of a posse, and they said, you know, why not boost this guy up, see what he can do? And, I mean, he's kind of come around. I'm not the biggest fan of his in the world, but compared to where he was, he's not bad. It's just, you know, we're waiting on John Cena to come back and be the American hero and take the title back off of him and then see what happens.
Okay, so there's two things. Three-man band with Heath Slater, Jinder Mahal, and Drew McIntyre, correct?
Yes.
Was it McIntyre? Remember when Drew McIntyre was supposed to be the next big thing, according to Vince McMahon? How many of those have you heard about in wrestling? Because he fits the build. And then when CM Punk went on that whole rant about all that stuff about the looking the part of stuff, it was so great because it's so true. And Drew McIntyre is probably one, if not one, number one, he's 1A of the guys that had the look but just didn't come through. I think part two would probably be Chris Masters. Remember Chris Masters and the Master Lock Challenge?
Yeah.
So, and then I'm forgetting my other take here. It was probably so scorching that's why I burned out of my brain because it was so hot.
You may need to drink some water there. Yeah. Your tongue's on fire.
Yeah, the Jinder Mahal, though, it's just so funny when I read about that because it's just like, oh, I never saw that coming with him. And the same with Fandango. He's just a dancing jobber who's now – I'm glad to see that they gave him a chance, though, because there are guys that are good workers that don't get chances. Like,
yes.
Zack Ryder actually wasn't a bad in-ring performer. He just never got a chance, and he became a jobber. I don't understand why, but that's kind of what happened, and I kind of felt bad. But, you know, the stigma of this whole, oh, you got to be built like Roman Reigns. The guy has, like, three moves. I mean, I'm sorry. I'd rather watch John Cena wrestle, and I'm not even a Cena guy. I like what Cena does outside of the ring with all the make-a-wish stuff because I think that guy's fantastic with that, and he grants more make-a-wishes than anyone, and I commend him extremely for that. But in the ring, I can't watch him. He's so boring. But I'd rather watch him than Roman Reigns. I mean, I'm not a Roman Reigns guy, so everything that surrounds Roman Reigns and the hype and all that, I don't buy into it. I'd rather see Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, the smaller guys out there, compete. So that's my take on that. I'm still blown away that Jinder Mahal is a big name in wrestling.
Yeah, it's going to be a fad thing. It's, you know, this is probably a call that Vince made that Triple H probably walked out of the room because of. But, you know, they've done dumber things, and at least he looks legitimate. And he's okay. Like I said, he's coming around on the microphone, but it's only a matter of time before Randy Orton just crushes all of them again or Cena or somebody, you know, comes to be the hero. But do you watch Lucha Underground any? They filmed that not far from you, actually.
I have not. I don't really watch a lot of TV right now besides of sporting events. I watch a lot of Netflix and Amazon, so I haven't really watched a lot of anything really that's on TV. So I have not. I heard it's a good watch, and you're right. I can't remember where it is, but it isn't that far from me. But I have not watched it.
Yeah, it's not Boiler Heights, but it's right outside of Los Angeles somewhere, where they film all that. They do some really cool things. You might have to YouTube some of those as well. Maybe if we're lucky, we can get a couple of those guys on for all that. But yeah, between that and New Japan, to me, New Japan is probably the best wrestling on TV. Lucha is probably second. And then, depending on the week, Raw or SmackDown, just it's more about the action, more about wrestling, and less about talk. And that's, I mean, I understand talking a little bit because I do. It's the reason why I can't watch UFC anymore, because it's back how it used to be, where two random guys show up and they start trying to fight. And I'm like, well, why are they fighting? Is there a title on the line? No. Okay, did he say his mother was fat? No. Give me a reason why they're fighting, not just the fact that, hey, they thought it'd be a good idea to fight. You know, I understand there needs to be some level of talking, but I don't need 30 minutes from somebody from the McMahon family for me to understand why the main event is only going to be 10 minutes.
I agree with you. And there are some guys that are worth listening to. When CM Punk talks,
yeah,
I listen. When The Rock talks, you listen. There are some guys that are really good at cutting promos.
Kevin Owens is really good.
KO's great at that. I love Kevin Owens. Ever since he burst into the scene with NXT and all, I've always been a big Owens fan.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt, you got to throw in there.
Wyatt's fantastic. He's just creepy. That's why he's so good. He's just creepy, and he's always been creepy and cryptic. And I like everything about him. Even when he was Husky Harris, Harris, and he's part of the Nexus. Well, he's part of Nexus,
yes,
wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
See, we're going back when I loved the Nexus with Wade Barrett and all those guys, and then when CM Punk took over the Nexus, and then it was the summer of Punk. But as you can tell, I'm a big CM Punk guy. I miss the guy. I want him to come back. I'm glad to see that, you know, they're trying to put more more wrestling and less talk, because I'm so tired of I'm tired of seeing Triple H. I love Triple H as a wrestler and a performer.
Sure.
Yes, I'm saying wrestler. He's not a superstar. He's a wrestler. So getting back to more actual wrestling is great. And yesterday it made me want to go back and watch the Shawn Michaels Stone Cold hype, everything leading up to their WrestleMania match when Stone Cold took over the wrestling. Because yesterday was the 20th anniversary of the bite fight with Tyson bit Holyfield.
Right, right.
So I went back and watched some of the YouTube videos of Tyson being part of DX, which was great, and then Tyson knocking out Shawn Michaels after the match and putting on the Stone Cold shirt. So I think that's a good way to end this mixed bag of everything we talked about today, which even included everything, soccer, hockey, almost emails, which we will get into at some point because I have a lot to say about that.
Yeah, in fact, since we don't have a social media shout out, I will make our social media shout out today at Steve Austin BSR. He will be our social media shout out. So Sports Club social media shout out today is Steve Austin. So shout out to you, Steve. We'll I'll crack some cold ones and give you a hell yeah right after this show. Because it just sounds like a good idea at this point.
What?
I said it would be a good idea after we do this show.
What?
You know, when we do this show, then we do it again.
What?
I said we're going to drink some beers.
What?
We're going to raise some hell.
What?
We're going to die on the Broken Skull Challenge.
By the way, I have that shirt that says what in the question mark, and it says Austin 316 on the back. I'm going to have to work tomorrow.
You might have to do, you know, you need to Instagram that and or put it on some social media. We'll put it out through the show or something like that. I might do that this weekend. I'm supposed to go check out a local brewery. Hadn't decided what I'm going to wear yet. I might bust out I might wear my old Kurt Angle or Samoa Joe shirt or something. I need to get them out of storage anyway.
Kurt Angle, shout out Pittsburgh, PA.
I should. He's my favorite Olympian.
Great guy. By the way, real quick, we're going off the side here. Matt Adams, shout out Slippery Rock University. That's not far from where I went to college. He's a PA guy as well.
Sorry, I'm trying to type Steve Austin BSR and make sure I do that. Because you never know. Sometimes we tag these people in these social media shout-outs, and they respond back. So, Steve, if you're listening, or if somebody catches it across there, we'd love to have you on here. In fact, you can take up the whole hour if you want. We will talk nothing but Stone Cold. And me and Cody will die happy people at that point.
Yes, that will be the pinnacle of my existence, if we can talk to Stone Cold Steve Austin. Because remember, Austin 316 means I just whipped your ass. You don't have to beat that out. That's what a podcast. That's appropriate.
Right. I mean, plus it's my show and you're my good buddy and co-host, and I don't have a problem with you saying it. So.
Yeah, that's true. And it's not one of the seven deadly words. So we're okay. If I would have dropped something else, it would have been a little different, but saying that, we're fine.
Yeah. We'll be good. But, good podcast. I think we had, make sure to send that. Okay. There we go. Cool. Social media shout out has been sent out. Have a Steve Weiser for us all. And, I guess that's going to do it for us. I think we covered everything and more that we wanted to. Shout out to Justin Felder from Fox 5 here in Atlanta. He was fantastic. Look forward to seeing him a little bit later in the summer as football kicks up. And I guess I'm going to have to get him to some hockey games.
Sounds like it. Get him to a hockey game. Get him to start liking hockey. And then, Atlanta will never have a hockey team again. Go check out a Florida Panthers game. Sure, they can get behind their up-and-coming franchise, although they lost their best goal scorer to the Golden Knights as well. So no, it's not Jágr. That's the closest team to you, right? Would Florida be the closest team to you?
No, not even close. No, Nashville by about 30 minutes. It's I think it's about 3.5-4 hours away. And if I decide to go northeast instead of north, then you go to Raleigh, North Carolina, where the Hurricanes play.
Okay, so you have two franchises. Okay, Carolina want to start Stanley Cup. Okay, well, you got two teams. You got a team that was in the Stanley Cup and a team that's won a Stanley Cup and been the two. That's not bad.
Yeah, it's some good options. And sometime this season, we're looking to take Impact Media on the road. Not sure which shows exactly, but we're going to go up to Smashville, try to catch a Predators game, then catch a Titans game before we come home, and might even try to check out the NHL All-Star game in Tampa because I have a lot of friends in Tampa too. So, you're welcome to join us on those, even though it's going to cost you a lot more than it will us. It's just a car ride for us.
We'll figure it out. I might know some people in Tampa.
I think that could be fun for the NHL All-Star game, especially grab some passes, hang out hang out all weekend or all 3 days or so, talk to people like Gretzky and Lemieux. I don't see where that's a bad idea.
No, I got to talk to Gretzky. I talked to Lemieux, which was great. That was a great thing. We'll get into that next time. But yeah, definitely. But I agree. This has been a good podcast. This has been a long one. Usually I'm on a time constraint, not really today. So, kind of. I have dinner plans, but it's not for another half an hour to an hour. So we're good.
I actually had tacos right before I came on, so I'm actually good. That's something that usually doesn't happen. I usually don't eat before shows. I usually don't have the time, but the tacos were already sitting here, so thanks to the people that made those tacos, or thanks to the people whose tacos I ate instead of them. But I guess that's going to do it for us. We will see you guys in a couple weeks where we will talk about things like reply all emails, and if we ever have Lo Neal on, I will mess with him about Jeff Fisher because I made a note of it.
Yeah, we'll get Lowe on. Don't worry. He's on vacation. We'll get him on. I'll make that happen.
I'm not sure who takes more vacations, him or Kevin Millar.
That's good.
I think
probably both.
That's a push.
Different sports.
Yeah, that's a push.
Different sports.
But have a great rest of your evening. Enjoy your dinner plans. I am probably going to catch up on Fargo Season 3 here in a minute.
I heard it's good, man. I'll talk to you soon. Always a pleasure, brother.
Absolutely. For Cody Elias, for Justin Felder, and for Steve Austin at Steve Austin BSR, our social media shout out, I'm Jeremy York. We will see you guys in a couple weeks for Sports Club. Have a good one. Make a bag it up. Hey, big girls, make a bag it up. Make a bag it up. I got them shaking their boobies like Congo, man. I'm shaking the city like Quake. I hate it blue in the face like John Doe. I'm drinking the cake, so let's bake. I'm taking the game's mine. Y'all witness the change, it's my time. Yeah, I'm new to the game, but y'all might wanna say you whack rap, stay light, save your time. I can dance, homie, I don't choose hell. Y'all looking at something like a true player. A girl told me that a man that can dance might can possibly get down with the tool in his pants. Now I'm a lady, let me see it vibrate. And when it's over, you ain't gon' need your bird. Cause I'm a pro, make you bend your back low, then the pound it real fast to light the percolate. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. 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 Get it now, yeah, yeah. Get it now, yeah, yeah. Was that the
without the bam. Yeah, okay. Bam! What?